Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
The hardest thing about doing video stuff, Sid, is that I have to fight my compulsion to always be crisscross applesauce in a chair like a baby. That's the way I always sit. And it's very hard to not sit crisscross applesauce like a baby, even though I know that it is bad for my posture and my health to sit that way. It's just the way I do it.
I understand, because for the longest time, at my office, my clinic, I have just been sitting on a stool. Specifically, our hairdresser uses this saddle stool, and I was so impressed with this like saddle shaped stool. I thought it was so cool that Justin got me one for my clinic, and I just roll back and forth because it's a very small clinic, from my desk to like my lab to into the exam room and back. I'm just always mobile, like on wheels, and it's great. Except it's killing my back.
Yeah,
but I look so cool rolling around on my stool. I think.
You look cool.
Do I?
No one has that. Well, even if you don't, you're gone so fast, you don't hear them make fun of you because you're on your stool. You're like, zoom, you're gone.
Now I don't know. Now I'm questioning.
Can you imagine a conversation that someone would feel comfortable having with you where they're like, Sydney, we have to talk about the stool?
I mean, you would, though.
Would I?
Justin bought me a stool with a little like lumbar support, like back, tiny like thing on the back for me to start using. Ostensibly for my back pain. However, is it because I didn't look cool?
No, you look so cool, babe. So cool. Speaking of cool stuff that's happened, you were telling me about a headline you were reading, and I said, wait, Sydney, you could keep telling me about this, and I'd love to hear it, but I'm going to deprive myself and say, let's record it. Let's record you telling me about this so we can really unpack this medical history as it happens.
So, Justin,
yes.
I thought we would have a little fun today.
Okay.
I know that while you're listening to this, it is after Halloween, but we are actually recording on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and anything, as Mr. Curry says, anything can happen on Halloween.
Anything can. Now, this...
I read a story on Facebook today that when he originally filmed that scene from Worst Witch, he and the woman who was played the headmaster of the school... was a friend of his, and she had brought a bottle of slow gin that the two of them drank all night. And he said it kept them very warm, but apparently it wasn't great for their concentration because it was basically unintelligible. And they had to make them reshoot the entire scene when they got back to London in the studio. But the end of the story was, Tim Curry said, but hooray for gin. Yeah.
Hooray for gin.
Hooray for gin.
With the lyrics to the song, I don't know that it matters.
No, it is a very sort of like ambling narrative.
Is that why the line, has anyone seen my tambourine?
He might have just been sloshed like, I know I had it around here a second ago.
Justin, this story did not happen on Halloween, but it sounds like the beginning of kind of a fun, scary movie.
One of those 28s.
This could be the beginning of a zombie movie. So I heard this story initially. I was at work, and my very dear friend John told me this story. Like, did you read about this in the news? And he is a brilliant doctor of psychology, and he did get some details wrong initially. Now, I do like his version of the story better.
Okay.
So thank you, John, because this is what made my imagination run wild. The original story said is, did you hear about that truck somewhere that had like 50 monkeys in it, and they were all infected with COVID and herpes and hepatitis, and it crashed and all the monkeys are loose?
I mean, chilling. Can I
chilling.
Say?
Yes.
Chilling. Chilling, but in the year of our Lord 2025, a mere Tuesday, I would say, honestly. It very impressive, but not out of the realm of possibilities, as I understand it currently.
Yeah, no, it felt right. It felt right. And you have to know, when I heard this, I initially did not question all of the details. Because I thought, sure, that sounds good.
Yeah, truck full of monkeys, super sick, crashes, why wouldn't it?
Now,
why wouldn't it?
The reason that John got some details wrong is actually not his fault. It was that the initial reporting of the story was a little inaccurate. There were some, I don't know, I'm going to unravel this. There was some confusion as to the nature of the monkeys in terms of their health status.
It's important, monkeys, know your status.
It was confusing as to how many monkeys there were initially and what the threat to humans was. And so there were some initial details that were released that were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the news. And then corrections were released. But there's still, I mean, history, there's a grain of truth in this story.
Media is often the first draft of history, and it can take a couple passes to figure out exactly how many monkeys were on there, what kind of viruses and illnesses they had. If they're in funny costumes at all. That's a huge thing with monkeys sometimes, is if you are going to be doing research, are you putting them in funny outfits that look like people? Are you dressing them like a ballerina or a firefighter?
Are you doing a calendar with them? No one commented on whether or not the monkeys were in costume in any updated or previous versions.
I'm just saying, if they're going to do monkey research, there should be someone whose job it is to play with the monkeys and make sure they're having a lot of fun and whimsical time.
Sure. No, that makes sense.
Okay, good.
Okay, so what actually happened?
I don't know.
There was a truck transporting research animals. So, rhesus macaque monkeys.
Research, I think.
Rhesus monkeys. They're the monkeys.
I know about the rhesus monkeys.
What do you know about rhesus monkeys?
They're really important in evolution.
Well,
and they're important in DNA.
And if you have seen movies where monkeys infect people,
Punnett Square,
it's usually a rhesus monkey. Like, I think that in common understanding of what is a rhesus monkey, people are like, well, that's the one that got everybody sick in Outbreak or something. I mean, like, right? Like, isn't that what we... If you have any sort of cultural understanding, you think about that. Are these the monkeys that have things that you can catch?
You can catch things.
That's not really fair to the rhesus monkeys. That's really our fault. But
yeah, but they're not Max Fun donors, so whatever.
So they were transporting research animals from Tulane National Biomedical Research Center, and the truck overturned on Interstate 59 in transit. It was just north of Heidelberg.
A 4-lane, ironically.
This is in Mississippi. There were 21 rhesus monkeys on board, not 50. There were 21. If they're running at you all at once, that's still a lot of monkeys. I'm not thrilled whether it's 50 or 21. Either way, I'm running the other direction.
I feel like if I'm a truck driver and I have 20 monkeys in here and I'm looking at the truck like, guys, I don't know. And they come to you and they're like, we got to get another 50 monkeys in this bad boy. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. You can't account for 50 different monkeys, all those personalities, bathroom breaks, all that. It's too much. Structurally, they might write Hamlet eventually, but you're going to have to stop for the bathroom, like, constantly.
I don't think that the truck driver was worried about stopping for the monkeys to go to the bathroom.
Okay, he's going to have a big cleanup, but I guess it's his truck.
Now, but the truck driver is where some of this information starts. So what was initially reported, so this truck carrying 21 monkeys did go off the interstate and flip.
Okay.
And the monkeys did escape.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are true elements.
Did they escape before the crash?
No.
Think about this for a second.
Not that I'm aware of that.
Yeah, not that they would tell you. But I've seen all the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes movies, and I don't remember them, but I've seen them on planes and stuff. And I feel like maybe they started it. Like, I feel like 21 monkeys, heck, 15 monkeys working together could take the truck.
If they were cooperating.
15 minimum,
but
right?
I mean, they probably are. Like, they're social creatures. They probably were cooperating.
Yeah, but how do you, like, get it going? It's a complex thought.
Somebody has to be the leader.
That's why they have to develop human speech. In the Planet of the Apes movies, which I've seen but don't recall, they do develop human speech. I believe that is an element of them.
Well, and I will say that the reason that rhesus monkeys are so often used in research is because we share about 93% of our DNA. So it's a good model if you're trying to figure out a disease or a treatment or a vaccine or whatever that would work in a human.
I would also say up front, I am going to be interchangeably using monkey and apes. I'm 44 years old and I'm not doing it.
All right, you are going to get emails.
I'm not
about
doing
this.
It. I'm not
You're
doing,
going to get emails.
I'm
about
44.
This.
I'm not doing this. I'm not doing crocodile and alligator. I'm not doing it. Okay. I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get it right. And I'm not going to learn at this point. So monkeys and apes, crocodiles and alligators, dinosaurs and dragons. It's all the
what
same.
What about frog and toad?
Yeah, frog and toad's a really good one. Actually, frog and toad, 100% same thing. Ribbit? Got it. The ribbit ones.
Keep
it up, frogs. Mm-hmm. I'll put you in with lizards.
When you inevitably write the emails complaining about this, and I know some of you will, please just address them to Justin. Please make it clear.
Come on.
That I did Sydney not commit
them.
This crime.
I won't. You can't get
this
to me.
This is not on me. Okay, so the initial report from the Jasper County Sheriff's Department. This is the initial report from the sheriff. The driver of the truck, this is a quote, told local law enforcement that the monkeys were dangerous and posed a threat to humans. We took the appropriate actions after being given that information from the person transporting the monkeys. He also stated that you had to wear PPE, personal protective equipment, to handle the monkeys. We actually said PPE equipment, but we'll forgive that. And then went on to say the monkeys were infected with herpes, hepatitis C, and COVID-19, and therefore were a danger to humans. And that even if they weren't infected with these diseases, they also are aggressive. So and stay away. So this was the information that was initially released. And it led to some great headlines. Monkeys with COVID and STIs escaped in Mississippi. There were lots of those. You can look them up. Now, that's not entirely accurate anymore. And hopefully all those sensationalized stories have been updated. What do you think? Have they all been? What do you think?
I can't imagine that people are going back and take the time. And we can hope. But yeah. Are we still talking about the driver or are you moving on from the driver?
I was going to move on from the driver. Would you like to talk more about the driver?
Yes, I would like to say that they're trying to hang this driver out to dry. For this misinformation.
They're like, the driver told us.
Okay, imagine I'm the driver, though, okay? And my job in science is truck driver of the science, right? I'm driving the science.
You're driving the monkeys.
And they're like, you flip the monkeys out of your truck, which is, I would say, the number one thing you should not do.
Don't let the monkeys escape.
If they come to me and they're like, are these monkeys dangerous? Should we be careful? I would look at them and say, absolutely. Number one, don't ask me. I drive the truck. Absolutely. You should take every single care you can. How many monkeys are back there? I don't know. I didn't count. I drive the same way if there's 20 monkeys or 50 monkeys. You should act like there's 50. I don't know how many are running around. They could be sick as all get out. Just be really, really careful.
Well, but it's weird. Okay. I know what you're saying, and I do think that when it comes to escape monkeys, we should kind of take, like, when you're working with infectious materials, when you're working in healthcare, you're often taught the idea is anyone could be carrying a bloodborne pathogen. So you should always be protecting yourself and your patient as if that is the truth, right? You don't need to know, does this patient have something I could catch? You should be operating in a way that assumes they could,
yes.
Right? I mean, that's the safest way to always, you know, protect yourself. And so I agree with that. However, specifically, where did COVID, hepatitis, and herpes come from?
Covering his bases. He's just covering his bases. He didn't
Why
know.
Those three
he
of
knew
all?
It was one of the bad ones, and those are the ones he could remember off the top of his head. Don't come to someone who's just made the biggest whoopsie of their entire life and ask them if caution should be the watchword. Obviously, they're going to say, yes, take every precaution. They could have, I don't know, COVID, hepatitis, herpes. That's all the ones I can think about at the moment, but they could have any of it. Please be extremely careful. And then they're like, he said he had three different things. Trust us, guys. This guy is a straight shooter who knows what he's talking about.
I mean, the sheriff's
this
department.
This guy just upended a truck full of monkeys. Do not ask him questions.
The sheriff's department felt confident enough that they released this information. Now,
this guy felt confident enough that he released the monkeys. Now, we shouldn't be listening to him.
Now, Tulane officials reached out to the sheriff's department and said, whoa. Hold on. First, they wanted to make it very clear that these were not their monkeys.
These are not our monkeys.
Yeah. They were not in charge of transporting them. They were not in charge of the company that was transporting them.
We're not sure where you got them, honestly.
No, I mean, they might have come from our facility, but these are not we are not. We will help you, but this is not us. Like, Tulane did not do this.
You would say,
don't blame.
Not our monkeys, not our circus. Okay.
They did. And they said, but we can assure you they are not infectious. And so later...
Not our monkeys, but they're not infectious. Okay.
Later, Sheriff Randy Johnson came back out and said...
Yes!
The monkeys are not... They are not harboring disease. They are not dangerous in that way. Nevertheless, Johnson said, the monkeys still need to be neutralized, this in quotes, because of their aggressive nature.
No.
And Tulane went on to say...
Honey, you've talked so much after you said Randy Johnson. Okay, go ahead.
Tulane did go on to say that the 21 monkeys had recently received checkups confirming that they were pathogen-free. So they just got checkups at Tulane. they are not carrying any illnesses, and it's not our problem. That's what Tulane said. And Randy Johnson said, I don't know, I was just repeating the truck driver.
Randy Johnson also is best known for annihilating a bird with a fast pitch. So I don't know if we want to be taking his word on anything.
I'm assuming
related.
It's a different Randy Johnson.
Have you ever seen that video, though?
I have seen that video.
It's terrible, obviously. I'm sure Randy's still beating himself up. And I doubt it's even the same Randy, really, if you think about it.
Statistically, it probably isn't. But let me say that, obviously, there was a lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding, something happening in the early reports of this story.
It could be. Maybe that's where the root of it was, a Randy Johnson confusion.
They were already like the guy who threw the ball, but like, no, but it is. I mean, it begs the question, one, why did they think these monkeys had these three diseases? And two, I mean, for me, it was a fun thought experiment. What is the danger to people? Like, what are we really talking here?
Yeah.
Is the threat of these? And also, by the way, all 21 monkeys did not escape. Only 6 escaped. I will say, as of yesterday's reporting,
they didn't know. Sorry.
3 are still at large. 3 monkeys are still at large.
How did they get it wrong? Whether or not all the monkeys were gone.
Honey, why did they think they had herpes?
I was trying to defend this guy, but in terms of whether or not there's still monkeys in there, that one should be easy.
I mean, if you
pop it open.
And again, three monkeys are still at large at the time of this recording. They may have, I don't know, maybe they're caught now, but 3 monkeys are still at large. They still should be considered a threat because they could attack a human. So, like, don't approach them. If you're in this area, please don't. If you see one of these monkeys, call the authorities. Do not try to talk to the monkey or capture the monkey yourself.
I would also build on that, say, and sit and say, not just these monkeys. I would say if you see any monkeys in public, you should not try to apprehend them yourself.
Yeah, don't try to apprehend
them. They are so strong. I don't know if you saw Chimp Crazy on HBO Max, but they're extremely strong.
So yeah, don't approach them. Now, I will say, that was another thing. The reports of how big rhesus monkeys are varied wildly. Like, the initial, one of the headlines, I think, like, from the New York Post was, like, 40-pound monkey with STDs on the loose or something
like that. Those headlines about King Kong, like, murderous monkey rampages through city.
There were later, like, accounts where they were like, well, average rhesus monkeys are about 21 pounds, so,
That's what makes these scientifically juiced rhesus monkeys all the scarier, right? How do they double their size?
So I want to talk about this thought experiment.
Okay.
Of what happens when monkeys escape if they are infected with some sort of agent. But before we do that, we do have to go to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. I think staying connected is really one of the best gifts that you can give during this holiday season. And I think Aura Frames is a really good way of doing that. Here's what you do. It's a digital photo frame. You set it up for the intended recipient, or they can set it up themselves, you know, if they're a little bit more tech savvy. But once that's done, you are able to send pictures onto that photo frame from anywhere wirelessly through the Aura app. So imagine this, you set it up for grandma, and then you capture a picture of the kids at the zoo. Maybe there's 5 dolphins. You're like, holy crap, grandma loves dolphins. She's going to love this picture. Well, she could be seeing it just by uploading it directly to her frame. Even if grandma's already got one, what if she needs a second one in the toilet? Or it doesn't have to be in there. It could be anywhere. But imagine that. You beautiful designs from Aura range from like – I just saw the new Carver mat that I – it's new to me. I got a new Carver mat frame. It's really beautiful. I like all the designs. And I think you will too. Not just for you, though. Maybe it's a gift. But you know what? Grab one for yourself. You're going to be jealous. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver mat frames named number one by Wirecutter by using promo code Sawbones at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. This deal is exclusive to listeners and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. You've probably heard about HelloFresh in the past. It's a huge meal kit in America. I mean, the number one meal kit in America. But this fall, they're serving up even more love. Folks, this isn't the HelloFresh you remember. It's new. HelloFresh has doubled its menu. Now you can choose from 100 options each week, including new seasonal dishes and recipes from around the world. You can also, if you're into veggies, you can eat greener with some new veggie-packed recipes that have two or more veggies per dish. That's, I gotta say, folks, that's ambitious for me. I think a two-veggie meal, I'd be feeling pretty darn good about myself. I really like this new offering from HelloFresh. All these options, you are definitely going to find some stuff that you love. The best way to cook just got better. Go to HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus a free breakfast for life. One per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only, varies by plan. That's HelloFresh.com/Sawbones10FM to get 10 free meals plus free breakfast for life.
Greetings, I am John Hodgman, co-host and co-creator of the Judge John Hodgman podcast, along with Jesse Thorne here on the Maximum Fun Network. And I am here with Max Fun Member of the Month, Keith, who's been a Maximum Fun member since when, Keith?
Oh, at least 3 or 4 years now. I don't recall exactly when I fell prey to the pledge drive, but it got a hold of me and I've yet to relent.
Oh, and we shall not ever let go. Now, you join us telephonically from a different country from ours, which is which?
I moved to Vera, Portugal back in August of this year.
I hear evening birds chirping behind you. And what are the names of those birds?
We do have quite a few spoonbills and quite a few flamingos as well.
So what would you say to the birds around you and the people listening who are considering supporting the show?
You know, it's just nice to have a little bit of investment in the things that I love. Knowing that I'm making sure that those podcasts are still being created makes me feel good.
We're so pleased to have you be our Maximum Fun Member of the Month. Thank you very much, Keith, in Portugal. This month's Maximum Fun Member of the Month.
Obrigado.
Become a Max Fun member now at MaximumFun.org/join.
I'm Emily Fleming.
I'm Jordan Morris.
And I'm Matt Lieb.
We are real comedy writers.
Real friends.
And real cheapskates.
On every episode of our podcast, Free With Ads, we ask, why pay for expensive streaming services when you can get free movies from apps with weird names?
Each week, we review the freest movies the internet has to offer. Classics like Pride and Prejudice.
Cult classics like Point Break.
And holy sh**, what did I just watch? Classics like Teen Witch.
Tune in every week as we take a deep dive into the internet's bargain bin.
Every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or your favorite pod place.
It seems wild that we get paid to do that, what we're doing. Sydney hypothesizes about monkey disaster, but let's not hypothesize about monkey disaster for a second, because if you could just speak on this real quickly. Monkey disaster, this is not it is so close to, it is at the core of why you became a physician. Monkey disaster is sort of your heart and is your heart.
I guess kind of, yes, in the sense that I've said this, I think I'm on the record saying this.
She can't walk it back.
I mean, it's the truth. And I don't know. As I get older, it seems sillier, but it is still the truth. I was inspired to go into medicine when I read the book The Hot Zone when I was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And I learned about hemorrhagic fevers and the idea of trying to find where did these viruses cross from animals into humans? When did that happen? How did that happen? And then using those sorts of that sort of research to then find effective treatments, vaccines, cures, whatever, for viruses. That was, and yes, a lot of that story involves monkeys. So there you go.
There you go.
That is very true. Justin, I will say, this is not the first time that research monkeys have escaped. This happens more than you'd want to think about.
They're so smart. They've seen the inside of the lab. Of course it happens a lot.
They're smart, and I think that if you get used to working with them, and I don't know, you don't close one cage, really.
I'm glad we're taking a moment to talk about how easy it is to let monkeys escape, because it is a problem.
Well, last year, in November, 43 rhesus monkeys, so all 43, not six, 43 rhesus monkeys escaped from a biomedical facility called Alpha Genesis in Yamasee, South Carolina, because somebody forgot to latch a gate. I mean, it was that simple. Somebody didn't lock something.
Are we serious with this?
43 monkeys escaped into the surrounding
Alpha area. Genesis? Have you not seen an episode of Black Mirror? For God's sake. Alpha Genesis?
This feels...
in the desert? And you let monkeys escape from it?
No. We're in South Carolina, honey.
South Carolina? We're not in the desert of South Carolina?
No.
How did you turn South Carolina into a desert, you maniacs? What are you doing?
It felt to me like the beginning of a video game. Alpha Genesis released 43 rhesus monkeys. They were young and they were healthy. And it took them a total of 2 months to round up all of the monkeys. It was not until January of this year that they found the last of the monkeys and got them back to the facility. And they have a cute picture in the news stories where they followed it of one of the monkeys that they captured back in the lab eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm home.
What a wild day.
I don't know. Two months they survived. Anyway, so this is a thing that happens. I don't want to just blame this one truck driver, and certainly Tulane wants you to know it was not them.
I will say, if it could get out of Alpha Genesis, I'm not going to blame this truck driver at all. That's got to be the most vulnerable point for an escape, right? That's what they're planning on.
Well, if you think about in heist movies or in even movies like superhero movies where the villain's being transported to Arkham or whatever. You know what 100%. I mean? That's when you break out.
Yeah, that's when you get loose.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this thought experiment. What if they had been infected? First of all, the fact that I heard this and I didn't immediately think, well, obviously you wouldn't infect them with all three. Why would they be infected with all three? I don't know why that didn't give me more pause. And as a scientist, feel bad about that, because I don't know what science you're doing if you're infecting this one monkey with herpes, hepatitis C, and COVID-19 just to see what happens. That's not...
It's like TikTok science.
Yeah, that's not a...
TikTok science.
So already, I cannot imagine a research scenario where you are just giving a bunch of monkeys all three of these things and then now let's put them in a truck and see what happens. That's not... Why would you be doing that? So already this doesn't make sense. But let's talk about it one thing at a time. First of all, the question has to be, if they're going to spread disease, can you catch that disease from the monkey?
Right? Yeah, that's first. Question one, can you get COVID from a monkey?
Can you get COVID from a monkey? Now, it is true that many, if not all, non-human primates can carry COVID-19. We have seen this. Rhesus monkeys were used in some of the early, as we were trying to understand in those early days of COVID, can you get it more than once? There were early studies on rhesus monkeys giving them COVID and then trying to reinfect them with COVID to see if they could.
Oh man, wasn't that a bummer? You remember what a bummer that was, everybody? Remember when we figured out you could get COVID more than once? Man, we were really hoping that wasn't the case. Hachimachi. Oh boy, that was a bummer.
Now, I will say what's interesting is that when it comes to, is this a zoonotic disease? Meaning, or is this something we catch from animals? The research on COVID has not indicated that, absolutely, while there are many animals that can catch COVID, we know that that's true, that in terms of a huge reservoir of disease that is spreading to humans on a regular basis, animals don't really play a big role in that. I found a study that conclusively proved that a hamster gave somebody COVID, or at least it looked like it did, that they felt pretty confident that the person got COVID from a hamster.
Mm-hmm.
I could not find... Even though people kept referencing that there had been cases of primate to human COVID transmission, I couldn't actually find that study. It is theoretically possible, but it is thought that the risk of you catching COVID from a monkey with COVID, even if the rhesus monkey does indeed have COVID, the risk of you catching COVID from that monkey is pretty low.
Yeah.
It's pretty unlikely. Now, reverse zoonosis, meaning can we humans infect animals with COVID? That is a much bigger threat. We are much more likely to give a monkey COVID than a monkey is to give us COVID.
And you're brave to say it.
No, it's true.
I know. I know, and that's why it's so brave, Sydney.
We are much more of a risk to monkeys.
You hear that, monkeys? We see it.
I didn't mean it as a threat. I don't mean it like a threat.
We're owning it, monkeys.
Yeah, we are the most dangerous primate.
We're the most dangerous game.
Hypothetically possible that if you release dozens of monkeys with COVID into a community, could somebody get COVID? I mean, scientifically, it is possible. It's very low risk that you're going to catch COVID from a monkey. Hepatitis C, that's our next one. So very specifically, and I don't know if initially it came from the truck driver, if the truck driver heard it from somebody else, somebody loading the monkeys in, I don't know. But hepatitis C virus was also indicated as one of the things that the monkeys have. No, you can't catch hepatitis C from a rhesus monkey. But there is a caveat to this.
Okay.
I think this is very interesting. So I was reading about what can get hepatitis C. So humans, of course, which there is a treatment that is a cure now for hepatitis C. So I always feel like as a public service, I should always mention that.
Yeah.
We didn't used to. Now we have them. And it can be an 8 or 12 week treatment course and we can cure it. And that is a breakthrough and talk to your healthcare providers. Anyway, this is tricky because the only natural reservoirs for hepatitis C virus are humans and chimpanzees, not rhesus monkeys.
Right.
Okay. However, it's not like it is for a variety of reasons. We don't tend to do research on chimpanzees. It's not as easy. Okay. But we do a lot of research on rhesus monkeys. So there has been an effort to try and give hepatitis C to rhesus monkeys.
Sorry, monkeys.
So that we could study it better. And specifically in 2015, there was a study called Hepatitis C Virus Infects Rhesus Macaque Hepatocytes, liver cells, in simianized mice. And basically what researchers were trying to do is put monkey liver cells into mice.
Come on.
Infect those liver cells with hepatitis C virus. And they were able to, what they found is that rhesus monkeys have specific, like their immune system specifically defends them against hepatitis C virus. That's why they don't get it. And they were finding ways to skirt it. Like they were finding ways around it so that they could infect.
No, that's a bad idea, science. Why? They can't get it. And so you mix monkeys and mice to see if you can give them hepatitis?
It's for a research model. It's a research model.
It's maniacal.
Listen.
Stop doing science.
Listen.
That's enough science.
I just told you that we have an effective cure for hepatitis C virus now in humans. How do you think we got there, Justin?
I don't know, man.
I know.
I don't know.
I know. What I'm saying is shouldn't be able to catch hepatitis C from a rhesus monkey that escaped from a lab, but scientists are trying to fix that.
Fantastic. We're any day now, we should be getting hepatitis from monkeys. Thank you, science.
You can from a chimpanzee.
They're the same thing.
Oh, Justin. So I mean, generally, I would say no. Like, you would not expect a rhesus monkey is infected with hepatitis C, because at this point, that is only something they are attempting to do in labs. And
hang in there. Keep up the good fight, y'all. No, when it all goes terribly sideways and they all turn into zombies, don't say we didn't tell you so.
Well,
okay?
It's not like they're going to escape from the truck we transport them in, Justin.
Wah, wah. They did.
Okay.
28 years later. It's the movie about the zombie monkeys that have mice powers now. Good. They can transform into mice with thought? Neat.
Now, when I read this...
And they can get hepatitis.
What's interesting is as I was sitting here debating this with my colleagues when we first heard about this story, and I thought, what could you actually catch from a monkey? I would have thought COVID, yes. I was kind of surprised that it's not a bigger threat. I would have thought, like, well, hep C, I don't know if monkeys can catch hep C, but if they can, I figure if they bite you, like, that seemed reasonable to me. Mm-hmm. in my mind, before I did any research, herpes seemed like the least likely candidate. Because when you think about herpes, and all they said was herpes, and this is difficult to begin with because there's lots of herpes. There's a lot of herpes viruses. So when they say the monkeys have herpes, what do you mean by that? So probably when you think of herpes, Justin.
And I do.
You think of two things.
Yeah.
What two things do herpes cause?
Genital sores and mouth sores.
There you go. That's what most people think of, right? Yeah. What you're referencing is herpes simplex virus 1 and herpes simplex virus 2, HSV 1 and 2. Is it easy? So those two specific herpes viruses are the ones that most of us think about. Herpes virus 1, generally speaking, causes the mouth sores. Herpes virus 2 can cause the genital sores. There can be some crossover. But generally speaking, this is what you're thinking.
Okay.
That is not really what monkeys tend to get, though. And so if you're going to say, like, the monkeys have herpes, I'm going to wonder what is the most common herpes that a monkey can have. I'm not going to be thinking about herpes virus 1 and 2 in a monkey. And there is a very common...
And if you're not thinking about it, then nobody is.
Nobody's thinking about it. So I would suspect if we're playing in this space, herpes virus B, herpes B, or just B virus is what it's often called, is a herpes virus in monkeys that is similar to HSV1, the one that causes cold sores. It's similar to what humans get. Mm-hmm. And so that's the most likely thing that these rhesus monkeys would have. If they had a herpes virus, that is the most likely thing. And while it does also cause mouth sores, it can cause the little ulcers, just like HSV1, it also can cause more serious infections, which is also true for HSV1. It can cause things like encephalitis, which is inflammation of the brain. It can do that in monkeys. And herpes B virus can and has done that in humans. Mm. There have been multiple cases, specifically in research settings, so like scientists in a lab, people who work with rhesus monkeys on a regular basis, veterinary settings, zoo settings, places where you would come in contact with a lot of rhesus monkeys. There have been cases where people have either been bitten by one of these monkeys, or in one case, I think some like fluid was splashed into a scientist's eye, and they caught hepatitis B virus from the monkey. And I mean, this, don't laugh, because it can be a fatal infection. So it's a very serious infection.
The idea that I would laugh to that privately to myself and you would dox me like that is truly untenable. I thought we had a partnership. Truly, truly unfathomable.
We're on camera.
I know, but there's edits. I don't even know if we're going to use this video. We will use this audio where you just absolutely annihilated me, though.
I'm sorry. I was trying to stop you before you went down a joke path.
Hey, you should wear glasses. I mean, in the lab, you should wear goggles.
Anyway, the point is, I had initially herpes was the least likely. But if we're talking herpes B virus, that is probably the biggest threat of everything we've discussed in terms of monkey to human transmission, because it has indeed happened. I don't want to say frequently. It's not frequently, but it is definitely a danger when you were doing laboratory science with these animals. You could catch herpes from them.
Okay.
So that's the one that I think is the most realistic. All of this being said, what is the risk from a population of infected monkeys that spill out of a truck to the surrounding humans?
Unbelievably high.
Nah, pretty low. Like, the chances that they have hepatitis C are pretty much zero, unless some weird new science has been done in a lab.
And who would be doing that, Alpha Genesis?
Then they're not going to give you hep C, because they almost certainly don't have it. If we did find a way to give rhesus monkeys hep C, then I guess they could pass it to you if they bit you or if they shared bodily fluids with you. It would be highly unlikely for you to catch COVID from one. I guess if we imagine a scenario where a ton of rhesus monkeys, I mean like dozens of rhesus monkeys at the peak of COVID infection, at their most infectious moment, are surrounding you right in your face and just expelling respiratory droplets at you we're going to say at least 45 minutes to an hour, right?
Yeah.
Right at close range, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, you're probably not going to catch COVID from a monkey. And then when it comes to the B virus, it's possible, but you still would need direct contact. You're still going to have to get pretty close to these monkeys. So I was trying to come up with a number, like how many monkeys could have spilled out of that truck infected with hepatitis C, COVID, and herpes that I would actually be concerned. And I feel like there is no evidence-based. I mean, it could be infinite. Like there's no...
So you're saying if you had infinite monkeys and you infected some of them with it, if they had infinite amount of time, eventually everybody would have herpes.
I mean, if they're biting people, yeah. I guess if we surmise that what that truck driver or what Randy Johnson or what whoever gave these gentlemen information meant was B virus, I would be concerned about enough density of monkeys that they would start attacking people. And then, yeah, that would be my only concern.
Thank you so much for listening to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
I was trying to give you one less thing to worry about,
and you
right?
just made a whole long list of things to add in their place.
I cannot emphasize enough. Three monkeys are still at large. Do not approach them.
Do not approach them. Do not attempt to apprehend the monkeys, you fool. Or chimps, if you can tell the difference. Good on you. Thanks so much to the taxpayers for use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And hey, we do lots of different kinds of episodes of Sawbones, and... we're curious sort of what you guys think, the folks out there in the listening world. If you'd like to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. There's a link in the description of this episode. So if you would go check that link, there's a survey there. If you would click it and take that survey, gosh, I'd sure appreciate it. Thank you so much. And oh, Candle Nights, it's coming up on December 6th. And if you would like to come see the show, you can do that. And I think that you should do that because it's going to be... really, really good. We're going to have skits. We're going to have excitement.
We're going to have music.
We're going to have music. We're going to have a lot more fun. You can get tickets in person if you go to bit.ly/McElroy Tours is the address. You can get in-person tickets, but there's also a streaming option that's going to be out December 19th at 9 p.m. We will be watching that live in the chat if you want to do that. Or you can get tickets to the live version 7 p.m. 6 of December at the Keith Albee Performing Arts Center. It's going to be huge.
It's a beautiful theater, too. The Keith Albee is an old theater here in Huntington.
Yeah, they just refurbished it.
It's gorgeous. So, and come visit Huntington. There's so much great stuff to do here.
All the proceeds for this event are going to go to benefit Harmony House, which seeks to end homelessness in our area and support people experiencing homelessness. It's a wonderful organization, and we're very happy to be supporting it.
So, absolutely.
That's going to do it for us for this week. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
All right. Yeah.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported directly by you.